If you can't get a computer to do anything but frustrate you, try the computer you already know how to use. Take Macintosh out for a free overnight test drive.
Hello, and welcome to the Skullcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Arifon Elijah. Joining me today, he may not be a full-time thief, but no family jewels are safe once he gets a few ales in him. Leander Caney is here.
Thanks, I think.
Also with this, his upcoming iOS game, Bustimon Go, is sure to be a smash hit, but it's just for the ladies because they all want to catch him. Buster Kine is here.
Hey, man.
Is that going to have in-app purchases?
Oh, tons of them.
You can buy like short jean shorts and tank tops and stuff.
I want to make like $3 billion off of it.
A cool $3 billion. So that's what Nintendo is making, I think. They're making so much money hand over fist off that freaking Pokemon Go game.
Well, there was a story today that Apple's going to make like $3 billion off of it too.
Whoa. Really?
Just from, you know, off the percentage they get.
So one of our listeners was telling me that Nintendo actually owns a 30% stake in the Pokemon company.
Yeah.
Or in the Pokemon IP. So they're probably making $3 billion as well.
Yeah.
For doing absolutely nothing but just licensing their...
Crikey.
Yeah, right?
Well, it's addictive. My son's doing, you know, my kids are doing it all the time. He's out every night, like, hunting Pokemon. He and his friends were riding the bus all over San Francisco. And then he got into a fight with his friend on the bus because it was a super rare Pokemon, and they were like both trying to catch it with their Pokeballs. And then like,
hands off my Pokeballs, man!
Yeah, they were. And did you see that footage of that crowd in Central Park?
That rare Pokemon. I saw Alex one on a Pokemon safari in Central Park.
Of course he did. Of course
like a guided tour.
Of course he did. I have seen on my evening strolls on my Segway Mini Pro, I have seen many troops. I'm regularly now, I see troops of people out catching Pokemon. I saw one guy just nose to his iPhone walking around, and I was like, what is that guy doing, right? And then like 10 minutes later, he came walking back with his nose in his iPhone, and then it clicked. I was like, man, this guy's like 25 years old, and he's walking around catching Pokemon, too.
Hunting, yeah. He's on the Pokemon hunt.
Didn't I see a picture on Cult of MacBuster of some dude like in a minefield looking for Pokemon?
I don't think that was on... I don't know if it was on Cult of Mac, but I did see that somebody like wandered into a minefield or something. Maybe they did
really?
That. I think at this point, you got to be joking, right?
Right, they're making these up. Yeah,
I mean, if it's rare enough, if it's a rare enough Pokemon,
it's worth it, bro.
It's worth risking life and limb. I mean, you don't need two legs; you can hop around, or get one of those cool blade legs. Alrighty, well, before we hop into the news, there's not a lot of it this week. We actually might keep the show to 30 minutes. We'll see what happens. Fingers crossed here. But it's a real possibility, this show. I want to go ahead and thank Cult Cloth for supporting this episode. Cult Cloth is a product that I discovered after years of trying virtually everything else. I used those little paper wipes. I used the cheap microfiber from Amazon. So I searched the internet for something that would do a better job. I ordered samples from all over the world, literally all over the world. And I came across a cloth that was sewn together with this crushed fiber. The fiber goes through this special milling process on these million-dollar machines, which breaks down each fiber and creates a ton of extra surface area. And then once they're woven together in dense cloths, they give these cloths this incredible cleaning power. That's what makes Cult Cloth so effective. Cult Cloth is what I use to clean everything. My iPhone, my MacBook Pro, my iPad, my sunglasses, my photographic equipment, including my 5D Mark III, and my expensive lenses. I have a $2,400 24-70 zoom lens. Cult Cloth is the only thing I use to clean the glass in the front and the back of that. That's because they leave nothing behind but sparkling smooth glass, metal, and plastic. If you're anal like me, if you like to keep your technology and the items in your life in good working order, if you like your stuff to be clean, head on over to cultcloth.co. You can see the Cult Cloth in action. You can see our testimonials page where real people will tell you what they think about their Cult Cloth. And if you decide to place an order, you can use code CULTCAST at checkout. You'll get a free 8x8 clean cloth with any order. That is cultcloth.co. All right, guys, let's talk about iOS 10. I have a confession to make. Even though I said that I never install the betas, which is true.
Yeah.
It has historically been true. I don't know what got into me. I just I went for it, Buster.
You finally did, huh?
I installed iOS 10
on your iPhone.
on my iPhone because I was like, what the heck, you know? I don't, my iPhone's not a production machine, so to speak. So I figured, what the heck? I'm going to live on the edge, live life on the edge, as Aerosmith kind of said. And I installed it, and I love it so far.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's pretty steady, too, isn't it? I haven't had any problems at all, you know?
Oh, you really? Haven't had any problems with iOS 10 beta?
Not really, no.
On my iPad, I have more problems.
It's actually kind of surprising, as someone who's never really installed betas before, to get such a buggy product from Apple.
Well,
I'm not casting judgments.
That's the whole point. It's a beta.
I know. That's the whole point. It's a beta. It's going to have bugs. So I'm not criticizing it in any way. It's just a different experience for me for things to not work as smoothly as they normally do.
I would say it's like one of the more stable beta builds that I've seen from Apple.
Yeah, me too.
Like especially like that's why I've been holding off until the third beta I installed it, and I'm like, oh, there's some definite stuff wrong with it, but it feels more stable on the iPhone, I feel like, than on the iPad.
Oh, it's more stable on the iPhone.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, that's interesting.
I haven't ran into as many problems, but on my iPad I have it crashing quite a bit. It just like randomly resetting. A couple apps don't work.
I haven't had that happen. For those of you that are running the beta, I know there's one of the most annoying bugs so far is the random pauses in video and in audio, and that was driving me crazy. In fact, I was almost gonna uninstall it because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and every 10 seconds my iPhone would just pause the audio. It was driving me nuts. And one of our listeners suggested that I turn off Hey Siri. And so I did that, and I have not had a single pause since. So if you're getting random pauses in your audio or your video, that's what you need to do to fix it. Fixed it for me. And that way you can actually live and not pull your hair out with iOS 10 beta. That was terrible. The new features in Mail are amazing. That unsubscribe button is a revelation. I can't believe that we've lived without it for so long. And also, I don't know if previous versions of Mail had this, the ability to edit your email list, or I think it's edit and then trash all. Could you do that before?
I don't know. I don't use that app.
I don't think that you could.
What's that? What? That sounds so like something.
If you open Mail and you're in one of your mailboxes, if you hit edit, you can hit trash all, and at least that's what you can do if you're in one of the folders. I don't know if you can do it from
Markle,
one of your mail.
I see.
No, I have trash all.
I think because I have mine set up for my default behavior is to archive, not to delete. That's something you set in system preferences.
Yeah.
System settings.
So you can archive all?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So maybe I switched that out not long ago. Maybe that's just a new feature.
Actually, when I do mark all, it pops up a little thing saying flag or mark as red.
Huh.
Both of which are completely useless.
Yeah, that's why you got to put trash all in there. It actually saves a ton of time, right?
I have to fiddle around with that. Yeah, definitely. Because that was one of the major features that I needed to go through the whole, you know, because in the mailbox, usually it's 400 pieces of junk and two things I got to do.
Exactly. Exactly.
I'm going to take care of the two things and then get rid of everything else.
Right, because you just want to scroll the whole list, right? And just see what's in there.
Exactly.
And then, archive the two that you need and then trash the rest.
Yeah,
so I've been loving that. I think this might be a new feature in iOS 10. I'm not sure. I'm totally unprepared for this conversation. I'll have to admit that. I have no idea what I'm doing here. Yeah, I don't even own an iPhone. I use an Android phone. So I'm just going to let you guys finish.
You know what really is talking about stock apps, you know, that have been improved. I think the Maps app is much, much better. Way, way better. It's a much cleaner interface. It's much easier to do things. Because it was always like really, do you remember how hard it was to like to sort of, you know, get directions was kind of hidden away?
Yeah.
You pull up a card to, you know, you search for something.
Yeah.
You pull up the card and then it was like, well, okay, where is it? Where's it? How do I get directions? And it would be hidden away. And now it's really clear. The buttons are much clearer, much bigger.
Yeah.
It's cool when it remembers where you parked your car. That's always a great feature.
I like that they've made a lot of the calls to action more obvious in all the apps. So it's not just in Apple Maps, but I've noticed the same thing in the podcast app. The pause button is a lot bigger now. The pause play button is a lot bigger. So I feel like they have given attention to the action items in your apps to make things more clear. And I like the UI changes a lot. All the UI changes I've seen so far, I've really been liking, except for I'm not sure how I feel about the bubbles on the notification screen. It's reminiscent of earlier versions of iMessage. You know, like when it used to be called iChat. Do you guys remember iChat? And it reminds me of those bubbles that used to pop up when you would get like a message from somebody else on your Mac, and I'm not in love with them. But overall, I really like the UI changes, and I can't wait till we get our hands on iOS Beta 3, Buster. I know they released that to developers, right?
Yeah, yeah. Are you not on it?
I'm on the public beta.
Oh.
So when do we get the updated betas? Because developers are getting them way ahead of us.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'd ask Apple.
I'm going to send T-Cook an email right now.
Sometimes it's like a day after, like on some of like the smaller betas, but maybe with iOS 10, I think there was two betas before they came out with the public one. So
yeah, I wonder if they don't give us all the same ones.
Yeah, I think I have a feeling it's like a week later, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although I'm just making that up.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Although I have no idea what I'm saying. If that's actually true, I just literally made it up.
I just sort of remember it's kind of like about a week afterwards, I think. But yeah.
Oh, look, I just checked. So I checked yesterday for software update and didn't have anything. And now I have an update for iOS 10 public beta 2.
Oh, nice.
So I guess we're one version behind the developers. Anyway, Buster, any revelations in iOS beta 3?
What did change? There's like now when you lock the device, there's a little feedback on it.
A little haptic?
Yeah. So it just buzzes.
Oh, yeah.
Other than that... Oh, there's a lot of changes actually to Apple Music. So it kind of focuses more on your library when you're on search. So you have to choose to search for Apple Music. I don't know if I like that as much, but if you've already downloaded a ton of things onto it, maybe that's great for you. And then the little tweak on the lock screen.
Tweak on the lock screen of what?
Of the lock screen, just showing the time when you slide down in the notifications
view.
Nice. Yeah, super, super slick.
That's going to be on the next Apple commercial, I think.
Yeah. Oh, and you can save downloads to iCloud Drive now, finally.
I'm not really using iCloud Drive a lot.
Yeah, I don't either.
I got so used to Dropbox that it's just what I go to now. And actually, I should have mentioned this earlier. We'll be having a conversation about this later in the show, about the native apps that Apple provides, and if we use the native app, or if we use something that maybe is more robust, so to speak. And so, if you stick around to the end, we will have that discussion. I'm curious to hear if you guys are using all Apple apps, or if you have found your own replacements for some of the stuff that they offer. Okay, I thought this was worth a casual mention. I love Apple Pay. I love using Apple Pay. It's like magic. When you get to go to a store that accepts Apple Pay, it's so cool being able to just pay with your phone. And I saw a story a while ago that said Bank of America, which is one of our largest banks here in the U.S., was going to be accepting, I guess not Apple Pay, but they're going to let you use, I guess, the Apple Pay mechanism and then Touch ID to withdraw money from the ATM. But the lame part was... You would have to enter your PIN number afterwards. Did you guys hear about this story?
No.
Okay. Because, you know, I hate carrying around my cards. I know you do too, Buster, because you're so scantily dressed usually.
There's no space
for a credit card in your outfit. So you like to just have it on your phone. And so a story came out this week that FIS and Payment Alliance International, I guess they run like a majority of the ATMs in this country, have announced a partnership that will allow people to use Apple Pay to withdraw money from ATMs at over 70,000 ATMs. So you won't have to have your card with you. You can just, you know, scan your phone and get money out. But I guess my question is, and I'm not asking you guys because I already know you have no idea, is whether or not you'll have to enter your PIN number. Because, you know, when you put your ATM card in, it makes you type in your PIN number. And the Bank of America story that I was reading a while ago said that you can use Apple Pay to let the machine know what card you're using, but you still have to enter in your PIN number afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. Have you ever ran into that when using Apple Pay? I hate that. Like,
that's really annoying.
And you're like, oh gosh.
You're like, where's my wallet? I can't do this. I can't even do this. You put your phone away, discouraged. I feel like the obvious way it should work is you just touch Touch ID. Isn't that what Touch ID is for? And that way you don't need your PIN number.
Right.
Well, the early days of Apple Pay was like that when you went to like Walgreens. I remember doing it in the, you know, I touched it to the terminal and then they said, I have to type your PIN. And I was like, what?
You're like, what's the point?
I remember doing that, but that was kind of some kind of glitch, I think, initially.
Well, I still ran into that just the other day at the gas station. And I think it has something to do with how they run the transaction. Because I think you can, choose to not have people put in their PIN.
I have to sign my credit card thing all the time still. So I use Apple Pay to pay, and then it makes me sign it. I'm like, why are you making me sign this? You have my thumb verification.
It's completely pointless, isn't it? I think Buster's right. It's like the way they have it set. Different places have it set up different ways.
Oh, okay. So it doesn't work the same everywhere.
No, they're choosing to do, I guess they're being a little bit conservative and choosing to, do double verification.
Yeah.
Because in the, like in Whole Foods, you tap it and it's bing, done.
Doesn't matter how much you spend?
I don't know. I'm always so frugal that I've never really...
At Whole Foods? Is that even possible?
Well, because we don't do our grocery, our weekly grocery shop in there. But, I've never bought more than a few things.
I was going to say, you go in there, you're like, I want some fair trade coffee and a smoothie. And he's like, that would be $640, sir.
Well, have you run into any issues with, depending on the size of the bill?
Well, yeah, at Trader Joe's, which is normally where I shop. So if you have under a certain amount, I think it's $50, you can use Apple Pay. You don't have to sign. You just, scan and go.
They don't even have those terminals at our Trader Joe's. That's where we go to.
In San Francisco, they don't support Apple Pay in San Francisco.
Not as far as I know.
That's like the mecca
of
people who would love to shop at Trader Joe's. I can't believe that.
Well, if they do, I've never seen it, and I must be going crazy because, we have to go through that. They have the worst terminals ever, and we pay with a credit card, but, we have to put the thing in, the chip thing in. It takes forever.
Oh, isn't that the worst now?
Maybe they do have them.
They Apple probably do. If they support chips. Noticed. Yeah.
Huh, okay. I'll
you should ask them. My Trader Joe's, the terminal shows a picture of Apple Pay, so I knew, that it was supported. But, any place that has the chips, they would seem that they at least have the capability to support Apple Pay. Yeah. Isn't it the worst, though, when you have the chip credit card now? So for those people who are not in Europe... not in the U.S. We just got those credit cards with the chip in them. And so all the terminals everywhere are being switched out. And now when you have the new credit card, if you have a credit card with a chip in it, if you slide it, it doesn't work. And I like to swipe. I'm a swipe man. That's what I like to do. I feel like it's a much more natural thing. When you want to spend some money, you're like, swipe. And then the money's leaving, in that action. And now they make you take the freaking card. You got to put it in the slot. And then you got to wait 3 seconds while the machine reads it. It takes a lifetime.
The new ones are so annoying. Yeah, it takes so long, man. And you have to just keep watching the screen to wait till you can pull it out finally.
It's like, like when someone you're trying to get into someone's car and the doors are locked.
Yeah,
and you're pulling on the handle and they're trying to unlock it and you can't get in and everyone's annoyed.
Yeah.
It's that same process now at the grocery store. Like you put the credit card in, you pull it out, and he's like, no, it's not done. You put it in again, he's like, no, I'm not ready yet.
Yeah.
And then it's this whole song and dance. You're just jamming your credit card in and out.
Oh.
And no one knows what the hell is going on. And it takes 20 minutes to actually pay for your groceries.
Right.
It just shows how much better Apple Pay is than that whole ridiculous process. I didn't think we would be talking about this long. No idea. Okay, let's move on to AirPods, Buster.
Oh.
I was happy to see this story because... I really hope that Apple doesn't just move to using Beats stuff for their, Bluetooth
headphones.
Connected earphones once we move to the iPhone 7. And then, of course, everyone listening knows there's not going to be a headphone jack, most likely, on the next iPhone. You'll either have to use a Lightning connector or you'll have to use Bluetooth headphones. And so Apple, I guess, they filed for a trademark for AirPods this week, Buster.
Yeah, I think they filed for it a while ago, but Mac Rumors, they have been keeping tabs on it and have found out that it was linked to Apple.
And so we may or may not see Apple's quote-unquote wireless earpods, a.k.a. AirPods, come to the iPhone 7, right? We really have no idea if this actually is going to end up meaning anything.
Right, because they used the same thing when they used the iWatch trademark, too. They trademarked that. I mean, Apple will trademark a couple names that they're interested in.
So they also used this same strategy to register iPad and CarPlay, which they did end up using. And
right.
When I mean the process, they use a shell company, right? I mean, Apple, as we found last week with Leander's Planet of the Apps domain, they're always using proxies.
Yeah.
They never actually do business themselves when they're securing this stuff because they don't want to reveal any information. And so they will use someone that doesn't seem related to Apple to trick you into selling your domain name for $4,000 to $5,000. But so this could mean that Apple will actually end up using the AirPods. I think the AirPods is a great name. I love the AirPods name and brand. I know that sounds silly because it's such a small item.
Right.
But I also like the white cable. It's historic and so relevant to Apple's brand. I would hate to see them ditch the AirPods brand and the white wire to go with like some bright red pair of Beats headphones that are wireless.
You know the most important thing about the AirPods, if they do make them?
What?
They got to come up with a good charging solution.
Uh-huh. For the AirPods?
Because
I've seen some really great ones. I think, have you seen the ones where it's like you carry them in the case and the case is a recharger, but it's also a battery pack?
Yeah, that'd be cool. That would be actually pretty nice. I've seen some, I had an old Bluetooth, Motorola Bluetooth headset. It was a pod that you stuck in your ear, and it came with a little, nice little charging case, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, I think I have that same one.
Yeah, that was actually not bad. It's okay. I don't know. The thing is, it was okay. It wasn't the best. You know who has a really nice charging dock? It's not a case, but it's a dock. Is the Bang & Olufsen. They have a set of wireless earbuds that they're actually tethered together, so they're not separate. But they come with a really nice charging stand that looks really, really easy to use. Because all the Bluetooth headsets I have. You have to plug in the little micro USB.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always fiddly and janky, and I hate it.
Yeah. I also hope they have a wire connecting the two, and they don't just go in your ears.
Oh, no. Why do you want that?
Because they just look like earrings. like big earrings, I feel like, when you have the two,
like
they just
gauges.
Go in your ears. Yeah, they look weird to me. I don't like it. I mean, they look like jewelry. I don't want them to look like jewelry, and I hope... They'll probably release like a Swarovski version with all the crystals on them. And I'll probably want those ones because they're Swarovski. But for the most part, yeah, I want them to look like technology. I don't want them to look like jewelry. And a lot of the Bluetooth earbuds that I've seen with the independent ones that go in your ears, they just look weird to me. I don't like it. You look like Uhura from Star Trek, which actually is not a bad look.
Get a nice mini skirt.
Actually, come to think of it, I have come full circle. I hope they actually release them independently for each year. Okay, let's talk about iPhone 7 as long as we're on the topic here. Did you guys ever buy this iPhone 7 Pro rumor?
Oh,
Buster, I don't think you did.
I hated it. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
did you actually see it coming to fruition? Did you think that Apple might actually go this route?
No, I would. I mean, it would just be so un-Apple-like, but at the same time, I could see Apple doing it just as a way to f*** people, because the iPhone 7's going to be so boring. Sorry, I should have...
Because they need to do something to make it seem exciting, is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. It would just be a giant ripoff if they put the dual-lens camera and a smart connector on a new top-tier phone that you have to pay an extra $100 or $200 for. That would just be... move, man.
I would add my position, but I agree with you 100% with everything that you just said, including the move. Leander, what did you think? Did you think we ever had a chance of getting an iPhone 7 Pro?
It would have been in line, I think, with what they're doing on the iPad and the iPad naming and marketing convention. So, I mean, it had you know, some credence because of that. It would have been in line with, you know, with the iPad moves, but. Yeah, it's hard to say. I wonder whether they float these things as trial balloons, you know, to see what the reaction's going to be, and gauge, you know, how these things might go. Because it's just a question of, you know, sort of naming and renaming things, isn't it? They're not actually committing to anything. They're not tooling up in a factory or spending millions and millions of dollars on, you know, like developing a new product. It's just a question of what they call it.
Well, Apple leaker Evan Blass, who actually has a pretty good record, he took to Twitter this week and said there will only be two iPhone 7 models coming up, and the codenames are Sonora and Dos Palos. That sounds like the title of a
Dos
GTA
Palos.
Game.
Dos
GTA 6. Dos Palos. Does that? I'm sure that means something in Spanish. Do either of you guys know enough Spanish to know what that means?
I don't know what that means.
Maybe that means two models.
It means something, yeah.
Maybe he's wrong, because he was saying, well, these two codenames imply that... there's only going to be two iPhone 7s, the normal iPhone 7 and the 7 Plus. But maybe Dos Palos means two iPhones, two models.
Well, it means
starts with Dos.
Two sticks is what it means.
Oh, okay.
Just ran the Google Translate. Yeah.
So it seems as though we're not going to get the iPhone 7 Pro, which would be the premium plus model. Leander, where do you stand now?
Sorry, I tuned out. I was researching those two, those two code names. They're both, towns in California.
Oh,
okay. Palos is a town near Fresno, and Sonora is a really nice town up on the way to Yosemite.
Okay, so you've just totally decimated my
sorry, yeah, my two sticks, right? This is what Apple's been doing with its operating systems. You know, I mean, with OS X, right? Sierra and Yosemite and El Capitan, name after. I wonder if, you know, it seems these are the first code names that I can think of that have been named using that convention. You know, naming things after California places.
You mean as far as product code names go?
Yeah, it's a good code name, isn't it, though? Because you could be talking about it and people think, oh, yeah, you know, talk about Sonora. It's a town that a lot of people here in Northern California know. So it's, you know, it's kind of innocuous. You know, it wouldn't set off any alarm bells.
You know, that's a really interesting point. You could be out at a restaurant talking about Sonora.
How's Sonora coming along? You know, and people think it'd be your second home, you know, your cabin or something.
Yeah, especially if you're Johnny Ive. They're like, this guy's got to have a house there.
Right.
It's a really good observation. That's probably why they switched to this.
They would have done this years ago, really, if that was it was important.
Maybe.
Wouldn't they? I mean, because this is not the first code, the first time they've used code names. The code names go back to, you know, the 70s, don't they? I mean, they go back, and probably even longer in the tech industry in general.
They go back to the Stone Age. Everyone's had code names. Right. Code names for everything. Okay, well, let's move on to our discussion on native app replacements. I have to admit, this was a listener suggestion. I believe it was suggested to us on our subreddit, thecultcast.reddit.com, and I searched and searched and searched and searched for the person who suggested it, because I remember it being such a good idea that I wanted to give that person a shout-out, and I could not find them. I could not find their name. So if that's you, if I'm talking about you, you should tweet me or hit me up on Reddit and let me know it was you and illustrate with some proof, and I will give you a shout out on the next show because you deserve recognition for this suggestion. So let's just run through these apps, and you guys can tell me if you use Apple's app or if you have found a better app that you use instead. I think I know where most of us are going to stand. I'm going to be on the replacement side of things, and I think you guys are going to be on the Apple side of things, but let's see. To start with, let's go the calendar app, your basic calendar app. Everyone loves calendar. The kids love playing with calendar. It's a great Friday and Saturday night event around my household. Leander, right. What do you use for the calendar app?
Yeah, I've been trying to use BusyCal.
Okay.
I've been trying to set that up. Uh-huh. But I find I did not like the interface at all.
Interesting, because I use BusyCal, and I use it because I like the interface.
Okay. Well, I didn't like it. I find it way too busy.
It is busy. It is busy. I agree with you. It's definitely not as Spartan as the Apple calendar app. But what I like about it is it shows you a lot more information. I find that the Apple calendar is so minimal that it just doesn't end up showing you as much useful information as you would otherwise, at least for me, you would otherwise want.
Well, do you use to-dos as well and reminders? I mean, because one of the big things was the integration in there, right? And it was made, and that was one thing I wanted to learn how to do, but I never really get around to it.
Oh, reminders. That was the other one that we forgot from this list. No, I don't I don't use the to-dos. In Apple's system, or I guess
no,
reminders.
I mean in BusyCal.
No, I don't use them at all in BusyCal either, because the ones in BusyCal sync with the reminders, you know, in iCloud and sync across all your devices and stuff. And we'll talk about that in a minute. Buster, what do you use?
I just use the Apple calendar because I never use a calendar. So
I was just gonna say, does your calendar involve a pencil and
yeah.
Some please, of paper.
Some bar on the back of his hand.
Yeah, that's right. Go to waterfall.
Yeah.
Jump from waterfall. He writes a little checkbox to check. Okay, let's talk about reminders then. Since that's tightly integrated, as you said, Leander, with calendar app, and I guess you're using the reminders app that Apple built.
Well, yes. I'm.
What does that mean?
Well, I put all these tasks in it. And they keep on popping up
again.
No, and then I never go back. And they keep popping up, and I keep dismissing them every morning. I got to go and I got to dismiss a whole bunch of reminders. And I'm like, okay, one day I'm going to figure out how to use this properly and set it up properly.
Right.
But I still haven't gotten around to it.
That is my biggest problem. One of my biggest problems in life, I would say, is what you just described. Is I put all these to do's in. So I use Wunderlist. And I don't like the Apple Reminders app. I think it's one of the worst apps that Apple has built. It's just way too basic. I hate the UI. It doesn't allow you to do anything well, and you can't nest tasks very well, and you can't categorize them as well as I would like. So I use Wunderlist, which I think is probably one of the best reminder apps out there, and they have apps for all platforms, Windows, Android, so you can sync your to-dos across all devices. But none of that helps me. Even though I keep trying to use Wunderlist, I had the same problem you do, and that is I put a bunch of reminders in, and then I never go and look at the app again until I have more reminders to put in. They just sit there. It's like a graveyard of earphones things to do.
Yeah, right, me too.
And it's growing exponentially. It's like it's huge now. It has hundreds of thousands of gravestones in there. RIP Airfon's to-do list. I think what we need to do, which is harder to do than it sounds, is actually dedicate like a half hour each day to reviewing your reminders so that you actually will go through and do the things that are in there. Because otherwise, they're just gone forever. It's a black. It might as well be a black hole.
Exactly. You got to get into the habit of doing it and using it. Now, it's actually kind of interesting. I was starting to read about different reminder systems. One of the best ones I heard about was this an old colleague of mine, an editor, and she had a notebook, and we used to go to a daily news meeting every day, and everyone would bring this notebook they had and write down what they were supposed to do. So she had a long-running list of all the to-do items that she had to tackle. Some of them were long-term, some of them were short-term, but she would copy that list every day over to a new page, to the top of the every day she'd start with a new fresh page in the notebook, and the first thing she did was copy over the to-do list from the day before. And if she had done a couple of things the day before, obviously she wouldn't copy them over. But it was like it worked on two levels. One, it put into the habit of looking and reviewing and keeping in mind the day's to-do list. And also, it wasn't allowed. Things that, she was kept on putting off, or things that were like big deal, she got sick of copying them over every day. So she would she'd be motivated to try to tackle them so that she wouldn't have to keep copying them.
That's the same mechanism that I would use. And that was the most effective way I have ever found to actually get things done. And you're right, because you have them on older pages. You don't want to keep moving them over. So it's annoying, but also it ingrains them in your brain that you need to get them done, right?
Yeah, I've got to do something about this. Right, I've got to do it. I got to do something on it
today. The only annoying part about that is you got to carry a freaking notebook with you everywhere you go.
Well, I bet there's digital equivalents. There's got to be a digital equivalent. I bet there's got to be a way of doing it digitally. And really, the most important thing was the habit, was just the forcing yourself to do this every day. And getting into the habit of doing it. I mean, that's what I don't have. It's like, every time my things pop up, I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot to do something about that.
Right. Snooze 24 hours. Right. I'm going to do that tomorrow for sure. Right. I was reading Richard Branson's book, and he keeps a notebook of everything. So he has to-do lists in there, and then anytime he has a conversation with people, he writes out notes to remember all this stuff, and that's how he runs his life. Yeah, and I was thinking to myself, are you kidding me? That's Richard Branson. That's how he does it. He keeps a freaking notebook, and he has years and years and years and years of notebooks. And he says sometimes when people will argue with him about a conversation or things that they said that they would do, he would go grab the notebook and refer to the page where they talked about it.
Oh, dear.
The guy's a machine. I don't know how you keep such detailed notes. My notes look terrible. And they never make any sense, not even to me. After 24 hours, I have no idea what I was talking about. Because I'm just not a good note taker. I've never been a good note taker.
Yeah, right. Me too.
Buster, what do you use?
For notes? No.
Yeah. Or for reminders?
Reminders, no. I don't use reminders. Yeah.
Buster doesn't need reminders.
Yeah.
He just does what he remembers.
I'm pretty bad about that as well. So.
Well, don't you do things like email yourself? I used to do that a lot. I would email myself.
No.
All the time. Because email's like a to-do list, right? When I hit the inbox in the morning, here's all the things I got to take care of. Mm-hmm. So if there was something I had to take care of, I would email myself. Sometimes I'd forward a message so it, you know, pop back to the top of the inbox. Mm-hmm. Or I would like write out a message to myself or write a note or whatever and email it to myself. I know Steve Jobs used to do that. That was Steve Jobs' toot system, yeah.
Do you ever just get annoyed and just send those messages to spam? I got to stop spamming myself in the morning. What about calculator? You guys don't seem to really be too keen on calculator. You kind of
How often do you got to bust out a calculator?
Dude, I'm calculating all the time,
like,
bro.
For
all
what?
The time. I don't know, adding up how much money people owe me, how many times I'm going to punch.
How small a tip you can leave.
I mean, right. Most of my computations are super simple. Division, multiplication, and addition.
You just do it in your mind?
Well, no, I just use the calculator. Like, Apple's calculator does what I need it to. What do you need, a graphing calculator for some reason?
No, you know what you need that Apple's calculator doesn't have is you need a history tape.
Oh, okay. That would
That's
be
the
nice.
One thing. Yeah, you know when you're making multiple calculations as you
Yeah.
or what did you say? I don't think you said calculations. What was the word that you used?
Calculations? Computations?
Is that what you said?
I don't know.
Computations.
Man.
I'm making calculations. Buster's on a whole new level. He's making computations. That's how complex his calculations are. I use CalcBot, and it's great because if you need to make multiple ones, you can use the history tape. If Apple would just add history tape, mm-hmm. Do they have history tape? I don't think they
no,
do.
No, they don't. I saw somebody complaining about that on Twitter the other day, too.
But you
nerds.
You know the calculator on the phone. Does that still switch to a scientific calculator when you turn it into a landscape?
Apple's calculator.
Let's do it. Let's try.
Yeah, it does.
There's nothing new on it actually.
CalcBot is for Mac and for iOS. It's kind of expensive for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. A calculator replacement.
I'm with you there.
But it's got a history tape.
And also, CalcBot does. They merged in, what was that app called? Like, you can do volume and weight and speed. Do you guys remember the name of the app they used to make and they folded it into CalcBot?
No.
In any case, you can do more than just math. Okay, let's talk about notes. The Apple Notes app has gotten a lot better over the years, in my opinion. It still sucks. Leander, what do you use?
Which one again, sorry?
Notes.
Oh, I use Notes. No, I like it. It's okay.
Okay.
Because I've tried Evernote. You know, I know you're a big fan of Evernote. And yep. Evernote, I just found way too complicated.
It's overkill for sure.
And it was always like logging you out in the browser. Like, this is when you want to use it. You're sitting there in the browser. You want to save a web page. And you hit save. And it's like, oh, you've been logged out. And then you have to log back in again.
Oh, that never happened to me.
Batty.
That's weird. Yeah, that I never had that problem. I will say, I use Notes for really simple notes. If it's just like a few words, I'll use the Notes app. But if it's anything more than that, I'm Evernote all the way.
What's good about it is it's super integrated with everything on iOS and on the desktop now too. So it does what Evernote does without the headache. It's really easy to send stuff to Notes, you know, using the little what do they call it, the little dialogue, the action dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very easy to save web pages, and they don't get in your way. I mean, like, you can still, you know, they get tucked away for, you know, and you can find them by search. It's I like the integration. It's very easy to put things in there.
It's hard to beat the Apple integration, isn't it? I mean, that's arguably the best feature about most of Apple's native apps.
It's nice and simple though too, as well. It's not overkill. Like Evernote, I thought had too many features, too many things to do. It was confusing. All you really want is, like, you want to put it away and then you want to find it again later, and so it has to have a good search. And I think it does both of those things, you know, well, and it's not too complicated.
Buster, what do you use?
Notes.
Notes, man. That's what I thought.
I mean, yeah, I use it sometimes, not that often, but, you know, if I just want to, like, jot down some quick ideas or something, I'll just, yeah. I mean, it's right there. But I don't, what do you use? Something else?
I use Evernote for the most part.
Oh, you use Evernote? Really?
Sometimes. Oh, okay. Yeah, sometimes. What about mail? Leander, I know that you're not using Apple Mail.
I am.
You've tried out like 101 different mail apps. You're always talking about a new one.
Yeah, yeah. Spark. I was trying to use, and I was really trying to use that. But again, it was just sort of too complicated. It's like there are too many different inboxes, and there and the other thing as well is that it didn't integrate with the with mail on that I'm using on the desktop. Mm-hmm. So I was in Spark, and I was okay, file this one away, archive that one, put this one over here, put that one over there, train it to do this, train it to do that. And when you're using the Spark app, it's, I guess it's okay because it categorizes things fairly well, and you can dismiss a whole bunch of stuff really quickly. But I got these bad old habits, right? So, if I have to deal with something later, I'll just mark it as unread and leave it in my inbox. And then when I get back to my computer, it was all completely different. Like, all the work I'd done on Spark hadn't been transferred over to the mail client on my desktop. So I feel like I had to sort of start again. If it had moved all the mails into different, if I could use it on the desktop too. And in fact, I think they're preparing a desktop client. I thought
Spark just bit the bullet. Didn't this one just fold?
Well, this is the one by Riedel.
Maybe I'm wrong. I was reading on Reddit just the other day that one of these major mail clients just bit it, and people were trying to figure out what to use next. So maybe it wasn't this one.
That was Mailbox, I think.
That was
remember
a while
Mailbox?
Ago.
Mailbox is the one that launched to huge hype. You had to get an invite to the beta,
right? Yeah,
or whatever it was, and it was crashing their servers, and everyone really wanted to get in on it. And
did Eddie Q's son work for Mailbox?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Wasn't he developer for Mailbox?
It got acquired by Dropbox. That's
right, and then it got squashed.
And then it was one of the early ones that had a lot of these features, sort of swiping to do things, also doing a lot of smart mailbox features. So Spark is great, but I think I definitely will use it once it gets a desktop client. And I know that they're working on a beta now, but they haven't released it yet.
I won't even touch a mail app unless it has a desktop client. I, it's hard for me to believe that people use mail clients that just live on iOS. I mean, seriously, are you only doing your mail in iOS? Doing mail in iOS is like torture. It's the worst thing in the world. I mean, when you type a message, it's terrible.
Well, it's actually not if you use Spark. Check out Spark, because there's a lot of great features that really do make it easy. Uh-huh. Like there's canned responses that make it real fast.
There's canned responses?
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Well, but it's like using, like notes. Messages. You can fire off a quick, okay, thanks,
Can you create canned responses?
I haven't looked into it. I would be surprised if you couldn't.
I want to make some. That'd be great. It's like, we'll reply to you later, busy petting turtle. Send.
Okay, right.
Yeah. Everyone's always petting his turtle.
Can't believe that one is the standard response.
That's just going to be my go-to. It just automatically gets sent out if you email me. Okay, Buster, I know you're using mail, aren't you?
No, I actually just use Gmail, though.
You use the Gmail app?
Yeah.
And how do you like that as compared to mail? What's better about it?
I don't know. I don't know if there's actually anything better about it, to be honest. It's just what I
use.
Using
it now because that's what you use?
Yeah. I hate email, though. So, I just don't. I try not to care about email anymore. It's all spam and stupid pitches.
And just marketing emails that you never signed up for.
Yep.
And companies trying to tell you about their new Bluetooth-enabled bidet.
Yeah.
Which actually, come to think of it, would be pretty cool.
Oh, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah. If someone has that product, please email us. Okay. What about iTunes?
Well, I don't know what you replace iTunes with. Buying like songs? Like, I don't buy songs.
I guess just listening to music.
Oh, for listening to music, I use Spotify.
Same here. Leander Dieter?
A bit of both. I use Spotify and music.
Are you using iTunes? Or are you using Apple Music?
Yeah, I listen to Beats Radio still. I know I'm probably one of the last people on the planet who does.
Where is everybody?
And I quite like using Siri to call up tunes. That works okay with Apple Music.
You know what? This was a false equivalency. I should have said Apple Music.
No.
Because that's really like the streaming service, right? I guess there are people who probably still do use iTunes, but iTunes doesn't really, it's not really used for listening to music anymore.
No.
Unless you're listening to your own music collection.
I did just open up the new Apple Music today to listen to Lil Yachty's new album, and I like the changes. It looks a little bit better. I think there's some parts that are still a little bit confusing, but I still like Spotify way better.
I'm gonna give Apple Music another 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And wait to see how they polish it, and then I'll probably go back and try it for a while.
Another 6 months to a year.
Yeah. It's far behind as far as UI goes. Yeah. I really find it to be not ideal. But I was surprised to read the other day, BuzzFeed did this long form piece about Apple Music, and they were saying Apple Music has way more playlists than Spotify does. I guess Spotify has 4,500. That seems low, doesn't it? 4,500.
I'm guessing a lot of them are from Beats, because I've noticed a lot are the exact same as when Beats Music was out, and that was super focused on playlists.
And they still are. Yeah. They have a whole team of, what is it? What did they say? 12 people or something just creating playlists.
Really?
I mean, wouldn't that be a job? Hey, what do you do for a living? I make playlists.
Yeah, that'd be a great job.
No, but I mean like to get paid. Yeah, make playlists. I guess you'd have to have a really comprehensive understanding of music and genres and musical styles to create a good playlist. But I made some mean ones back in the day, man. If I made you a mixtape when I was in my junior high days, you probably still got it. Let's just put it that way. You probably still listen to that. Especially if you're a girl. I give a few of those out. You know what I mean, Buster.
Yeah.
Don't act like you didn't give out some mixtapes.
I never gave out a mixtape, man.
You never gave out a mixtape to a girl you liked?
I don't think we were listening to mixtapes, man. I think we were on to CDs by then. Yeah.
You never made a girl mixed MP3?
Never a mixed MP3. I just, I was a full album type of listener.
You didn't give a girl an album then?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay. There you go. Point proven. I know Leander gave away some albums. He's like, hey, baby, you gotta listen to The Clash.
Right. Exactly.
What is this? By the way, when I was putting in the tunes in the last episode, because we were talking about our favorite albums. Man, that album is great, Leander.
Really?
The Clash? Yeah.
You liked it, the Seven Easter album?
I didn't like all of it, but the beginning track, especially Fantastic.
Yeah.
They sounded nothing like what I thought they sounded like. I was thinking of Sid Vicious. Is that his name? The guy who wore That's who I thought you were talking about.
Right. And this is...
I was like, this is going to be terrible. It's going to be some drunk guy screaming into a microphone. And it was nothing like that at all.
Right, no, this is when they were a great band. This is what made them so awesome, because they really developed, they went from sort of a loud, raucous punk rock to this, sophisticated world music.
Yeah, that's what it is. It actually had musicality to it. It wasn't just
awesome.
A bunch of stinky dudes on stage in tight leather screaming at the crowd. That was really good. I'm going to check out more of that on Spotify for sure. Okay, last question. Photo storage, always a big problem. I've been using iCloud photo storage, but I'm running out of space. What do you guys use to manage and store your photos? Buster, what do you got? I thought previously you said you were using Google or something.
I've used Google. I don't have it on my iPhone now. I should install it again, but I've just used iCloud photo storage too.
Yeah, it's so easy, right? Yeah.
Right
there.
So, Leander, you're the same thing.
Well, for the same reason, it's the integration. It makes it really, really easy. Just turn on one button and it goes, and it's all taken care of. But I heard good things about Google. I really want to check it out. You know what's really great in the new beta is all the smart photo categories. It'll categorize all your photos.
Yeah, like the moments and stuff. And that was totally what Google Photos had that too. Like a lot of that stuff, I feel like is straight from Google Photos.
Yeah, right. And that was a revelation, because I didn't know that you could do that in Google Photos and that it works so well.
Yeah, the Apple one looks pretty good too.
The Apple one has been working great. I've done all kinds of weird searches. You can do search for places, that works really well, but also categories of things. It pulls up receipts. People, all of that, all the AI stuff seems to work really, really well.
Yeah.
I'm looking at memories right now on photos, and it's actually pretty cool. I don't know how much I'll actually use it. It kind of has a novelty to it, and after you've used it a few times, you may not want to use it again. But it's pulled up some times in my life that I haven't thought about in a long time. Like, it just pulled up our trip to San Francisco, Buster.
Oh, really?
And when we were at Macworld and stuff. Oh, dude, look, there's Buster on Leander's boat in that sun hat that you put on.
Oh, nice.
There's Larry the seal. Yeah, that was great. Oh, yeah, it's got all sorts of great stuff in here. We're sitting in
Check out
the Portlandia events where we saw Fred Armisen and stuff talking about Portlandia. I don't know why he was at Macworld.
Well, check out the search. If you go to the if you go to in Moments, you go to do search, and then it has some. I don't know, for some reason, mine's bringing up teacups.
Surprise, surprise.
And there's one picture, and they're actually coffee cups. But anyway, credit card category. So if you do a search for something, it'll. Let's try picnic.
You go on a lot of picnics.
Yeah, huh? So it does. It brings up a birthday picnic.
Cool. Can you describe it?
Actually, it didn't.
Can you describe it to the listeners?
Where are these? So hold on, I think I'm in the wrong. No, no. Anyway, the search thing I thought was really impressive. I was doing a bunch of searches, and it came up with, you know, it was actually really quite good.
It is cool to have a way to dig up memories and events in your life that you haven't thought about in a while and have them presented to you without having to search for them. That's actually kind of cool. So yeah. I am digging the memories feature so far. Just overall, I love iOS 10. I'm just going to put that out there. I'm going to drop that on you guys. It's been great. I'm so happy I installed the beta. If you have installed the public beta and you were waiting for some reason like I was, just give it a shot. You got nothing to lose. There's so many great features in there. It's just a lot of polish, tiny little features here and there that make the OS a pleasure to use every day. I've been enjoying it immensely. Although it is kind of buggy and you'll have weird stuff happen that might mildly infuriate you. Overall, I'd say I'm really happy with it so far. Okay, you know, we were going to keep this 30 minutes and here we are. How did this happen? This always happens. This happens every single episode. Let's go ahead and wrap it up here before we get to 90 minutes. That's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what you think of iOS 10 beta, head on over to Twitter. I'm at Airfon, Buster's BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Yeah, well, when will we see them next, Leander?
Next week. Sorry, I was going to do some email.
Next time. Oh, I'm sorry.
I've got to run. I got a phone call in a few minutes.
Oh, yeah, got to go somewhere. Leander has to go. He's so busy. My name is Leandita. I am busy all day long.
Leandita.
Yeah,
Leandita here.
Leandita. Guten Tag, Leandita. We have been waiting for you all day.
I actually do want to be German now that you mention it.
I do too. Being German would be the coolest.
What you up to?
Going to Lake Schlan this weekend.
What lake? What?
Lake Schlan. It's in Eastern Washington, a big, beautiful lake.
Oh, yeah?
Surrounded by Eastern Washington desert.
Hmm.
Getting the nips out.
Oh, yeah? No. Nice.
Living that Buster Heine lifestyle.
Doing some sunbathing.
I might.
Nude.
I don't think I'm going to jump off any waterfalls, but I don't think there are any waterfalls out there.
That's too bad, man.
Yeah, I can't go full Buster, as they say.
Well, you got opportunities all around there.
Full Buster is jumping off the waterfall, but you're in like a string bikini.
Yeah. Or a...
with just the bottoms on.
A string bikini made out of denim, you know.
That you homemade.
Yeah, out of my old jeans. It's just what happened.
You just cut out all the fabric so it's just the seams. Yeah. That's going full Heine.